Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Stay standing if you would. It's for... You know, for Pastor Miranda and I, you know, to have Pastor Ken and Krista down with us and their family. Some of their kids are down, and one kid got engaged this weekend, and you know, they carved off time to be with us. And you know, it's quite just. It's been fun. It's been enjoyable. And many years ago, you know, I've told this story to several, and you know, they come into our life at a time when we were in the middle of, you know, in the middle of planning a church that we were just believing the Lord. And and he come to us at a time when they were believing the Lord, and you know, young in ministry, we were young in ministry, and just believing God for the supernatural and just things to break loose. And we've seen that happen. And they've since been now in Pennsylvania, planted a church, have been very successful, and have grown a church. I mean, it's he's got to blow out walls to actually build onto his building right now, because their building's too small. Amen. Hey, look around, guys. When buildings are too small, what's God going to do? He's going to give you the increase. Amen. And that's we're believing for them. They're believing for us. But if you guys would, let's welcome our guest speaker, Pastor Ken Boone. Praise God.
You can sit down. Thank you. Amen. Woo. How about that worship? Felt like I was back in Hawaii there for a moment. Got a little island feel to it. I'm going to have to take that back to my church. Well, I know I'm a stranger here to some of you, most of you, but we feel like we're at home here, and so appreciate Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda opening up their doors to us. We, to be honest, we didn't necessarily come to minister to you today, but we just came to spend some time with them, because how many of you know it's important to be around people of faith that can encourage you? And we both have, you know, very similar passions. We both have planted churches. They've planted two. I've only planted one, so they're ahead of me. And which is good, but there's more to come, amen? Amen. So I want to introduce you to my family, at least those that are here, my beautiful wife, Krista. Hey. Yep. And my daughter, Zaya, sitting next to her. And then my son, Zion's here with us. He just turned 16 in February, 17. Yeah, and then I've got two more sons at home, Elijah and Ethan. Ethan's the oldest, 22, he just got engaged. Yeah, so it's exciting. We're all getting older. All of pastors' kids are all married, and it's like, wow. The last time I saw them, they were all little. Amen. Well, it's great to be here with you. I do have a word for you this morning. And I don't know about you, Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda, but when the Lord gives me a word, and what I mean by a word today is a word, right? It's usually a word that I don't use. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's God, because that's not a word that's in my common vocabulary. And the other day, just Friday night when we were meeting with your leaders, you were speaking, and I heard this word in my heart, and it was the word, and I'm not even going to say it right. This is how bad I am. Like, I don't know this word. I don't use this word, but it's precipice. And even when I heard it, like, in my heart, I was saying it wrong. I was saying precipist. And I had to go to, you know, I went to Google, and I was spelling it wrong. Like, I'm telling you, I don't use this word, but it was the word precipice. I still can't say it right. And on Monday, you know, we knew that we were coming now for a few weeks, and I don't know how your pastors are, but you know, we preach every Sunday. Like, and that's a lot. I preach almost every Sunday, and usually what happens is you preach that message on Sunday morning, and you're hoping that the next Sunday it's even a little more powerful, more effective. And so I just, throughout the week, I just sit, I listen, I read, I pray, and I just wait. I just wait for things to begin to shift and things to come together. And usually for me, it's later in the week, like Friday or Saturday, sometimes late Saturday, and I start getting a little worried, you know. But on Monday of this past week, I was just like, this is what we're going to talk about. And it was great, and I was, you know, just meditating on that, thinking on that. And then Friday night when we were there at Pastor's house, this word precipice just dropped into my spirit, and then I was like, oh, this all just connects, and it's beautiful. Isn't God good? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's here in this house this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to do here, what your Holy Spirit's going to impart to us this morning. So, Holy Spirit, as we go to your word, we just ask you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would be here among us this morning. And, Holy Spirit, that you would just impart to us the wisdom and revelation for us to go over this precipice that you're leading us to. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, before you get too excited, I am a calm preacher. I'm not Jonathan Shuttlesworth by any stretch of the imagination. But how many of you know God speaks through all of us, right? Precipice. And I had to look this word up because I didn't know what it meant. And it means, in the physical, it means a very sharp cliff on a mountain. It's a place of no return, right? It's used in this sense that once you go over the precipice, you're never going back. And typically, it's used as kind of a dark way, like you're going over the precipice, and once you go over the precipice, you can never go back. But as the Lord was just dropping this word into my heart, I realized what he was saying. And it means this also, that you're on the brink of significant transformation or a point where change is inevitable. Inevitable. And I believe that the word of the Lord for all of us, including myself, because he was speaking to me about this word, is that that's where we're at. Whether it's church buildings, whether it's vision, whether it's plans, or let's just bring it down to the most practical level for all of us spirit-filled believers in this room, that we are usually always in the position of being at the precipice of what God wants to do in our life. We're in a process of always being transformed. We're in the process where change is always inevitable. I turned 50 last year. Now, Pastor Brad is just a little bit older than me, but we had a conversation about it. And you know, when you turn 50, there's just something that happens, not just physically, but just mentally. I'm thinking, like, you know, and I had a hard time with it, I'll be honest. I told my church, I'm not going to talk about it anymore because I talked about it too much in 2024. It's like, I'm turning 50 this year, and they all got tired of hearing about it. I could see it on their faces, and I was not getting any sympathy, especially from the older crowd. I was like, man, I could not, you know, I've never been 50 before. Like, that's a big number. And I realized, like, yeah, things are changing. I'm changing. But more than that, like, we're always in this constant state of being transformed. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life, right? We're being transformed into the image of Jesus. So we're always in this place of precipice. And I was thinking about the book of Acts, where we're going to spend a lot of our time this morning. And, you know, Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He's appeared to his disciples now on numerous occasions. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us, you know, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he tells his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, and that's what they do. They begin to gather in this upper room, and they're there praying. And when I look at that scripture now through the word that the Lord spoke into my heart the other day, it's like they're at the precipice. And once you go over this ledge, you're never coming back. It's not a bad thing. Like, it's a good thing, right? I mean, the Bible says that the old is gone and the new has come. There's a precipice experience in the Holy Spirit where the Lord begins to remove all the old stuff from our life, and he's bringing us into something new. And the word of the Lord was, tarry in Jerusalem until there's the precipice right there. You're at the edge. You're getting ready to go over the edge. And we love this story, right? I mean, we're all, I don't know if you're all spirit-filled, but if you're not, you can be before you leave here this morning. But I know that most of us are spirit-filled here today. And we know, just as the disciples experienced there in the upper room, there was that moment, that precipice moment, where one moment I'm seeking the Lord, I'm entering into his presence, I'm searching after him, and then the Holy Spirit comes, right? And you have that encounter. And how can you ever go back to being the same after you've experienced the power and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? And this is what we see in the upper room. I mean, just think about Peter. There's Peter who just a little while before had denied Jesus three times because he was too embarrassed to stand up for the name of Jesus in front of a slave girl. But now he's crossed over the precipice. He's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's Peter who stands up before a crowd of thousands and begins to preach the gospel. Like, there was a precipice moment in Peter's life, and it came through the infilling and the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know the story, right? They're gathered there in the upper room. They're tarrying before the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost had fully come, the Bible says, and suddenly, that's the moment. That's it right there. They just stepped right off the ledge. And that's the moment the Holy Spirit comes and gloriously fills them with fire and power. And the Bible says they all spoke with other tongues. Now, I have been, you know what a rabbit trail is, right? I've been trying to avoid this rabbit trail, and I really don't want to go down this road, but I've been studying this. Do you know what a cessationist is? Right? If you don't know what a cessationist is, it's just one of those believers, and I believe they love the Lord, and I believe that they love the Word, but they have this theology that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the signs and the wonders and the supernatural things of God either died out when the last apostle died or died out at the canonization of Scripture. And there's this argument among them that tongues was only for the purpose of preaching the gospel. Have you ever heard this? That tongues was only for the purpose of preaching the gospel. And for a long time, I believed that. Even as a, you know, spirit-filled believer, I believed for a long time that that was one of the evidences of, or one of the uses of tongues from the New Testament. But I began to study this. And if you look at Acts chapter 10, you find out that when Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and the whole house, while Peter's preaching, the whole house is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nobody else there to hear the tongue. And not just that, but when Paul goes to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, he says to them, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? They're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. What baptism were you baptized into? We were baptized into John's baptism. Well, that was a baptism of repentance. And now you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You guys know this story, right? And the Bible says Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Spirit comes and they all spoke in tongues and prophesied. And you know the amazing thing is? There's nobody else there to hear it. There's 12 men. But there's the Holy Ghost coming upon them and they're all speaking in other tongues. And I would say, or they would say, well, look at Acts chapter 2. Because when these people spoke in tongues, everybody heard the gospel in their own language. But listen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when they spoke in tongues, the foreigners who were there heard the wondrous works of God in their own language. It doesn't say they heard the gospel in their own language. The Bible says after they heard the word of tongues spoken in their own language, it's then afterwards that Peter gets up and preaches the gospel. I don't know if you're getting the point. The point is there something about the gift of the Holy Spirit that you and I still need today? And yes, the Holy Spirit can use tongues to minister to some foreigner in some foreign land. God can do whatever he wants. But tongues specifically is to get you and I over a prefacis that we cannot get over on our own, so that the power of the Holy Spirit can be put inside of us, so that it can be used through us. Yeah. Amen. Whew. Well, let's just go there, not to that specific spot, but let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is after Peter preaches his gospel message. In verse 37, it says, what do we do now? Because now they've seen the supernatural side of the Holy Spirit. They heard tongues in their own language. Peter gets up, he preaches the gospel, and their response is, what do we do now? And Peter in verse 38 says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it is right there. Tongues was the evidence of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, look at this. Oh, that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Come on, pastors. That's a good day. My goodness. Wow. That's a good day. This is the birthing of the church in the New Testament. We're seeing the power of the Holy Spirit placed upon men and women, by the way. We're seeing the power of the Holy Spirit put on display through men and women. And now, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, these men and these women are now beginning to add to the church. Come on, this is what we all want. This is what we all want. And listen, I'm so tired of hearing this argument. And it's, well, you just want more people in the pews. You just want more chairs to fill a room. You know what? Yeah, we do. That's exactly what we want. Because the more people that are coming, the more people that are sitting in our chairs, and the more people that are hearing the gospel, are more people that are being brought into the kingdom. I don't understand this argument. You know, it goes along with the other one. You just want our money. I hate money. Like, I don't hate it, but man, like, we have a church, and I totally understand, like, it costs money to do ministry. I mean, it just does. It's just the fact. But God has entrusted us with this. Like, we're supposed to be good stewards, and not just that, but we're supposed to be sowing into the kingdom. And when you sow into the kingdom, you're sowing into souls. You just want your chairs filled. Yes, that's exactly what we want, every single one of them. And we're running out of chairs, and so are you. But the point of this scripture, the reason I bring this out, and we're going to look at a few others here that use the same language, is that that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. Just say the word added. They were added to them. 3,000 souls. And what was the reason? Well, the reason was initially because this supernatural sign of tongues confused them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think about it, right? These men are not drunk as you suppose, Peter said. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, right? This is that. This is what this is. This is the gift of tongues. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is now evident because of what you've seen and what you've heard. This is a supernatural sign. And it gives way then for Peter to stand up and preach the gospel to these people. And his message, what we've already read in verse 38, was repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And because of the supernatural sign accompanied with Peter's preaching of the gospel, 3,000 people were added to them. Added to them. This is a precipice. This is a precipice. Just one moment before, it was just 120 in an upper room. 120 people in an upper room. I mean, not too much more than what we have here this morning. 100 people praying, and the Holy Spirit descends upon them and takes them across this precipice, the place of transformation, the place where change is inevitable. The Holy Spirit takes them across this precipice, and now they've stepped on the other side, and because of that, 3,000 people are added to the church in a moment's time. Whew. If that's not revival, I don't know what is. But the reason that they're added is because of Peter's message to them of repentance, baptism, and Holy Spirit. Now, most of what I'm going to say today, and I've been encouraged this weekend, but most of what I'm going to say today, like, you're already doing it. I was sitting over there thinking while we were worshiping, I was like, and seeing, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know what this is? Like my wife is the behind-the-scenes person who never gets enough credit for all the things that she does. That's usually what happens when you're behind the scenes. But how many of you know the behind-the-scenes stuff is necessary for the stuff that is seen? And I'm sitting over there, and I'm noticing, you know, security's coming through, and the offering is getting ready to come up, and I'm just seeing all this stuff that's already in place, and I'm just thinking to myself that, like, everything's set. The table is set, and dinner is about to be served. Like, it's coming, pastors. Oh, my goodness, you have no idea. I mean, you do, but you don't. Even the Bible says that. It's beyond what we can hope for or imagine. Now, just a little bit further down, we read something similar in verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and good and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, look, added, there it is, to the church daily those who were being saved. Man, the Holy Spirit is just moving in power, and people are being saved every day now. And I was thinking about this verse, and certainly there's a lot that we could extract from this and apply it to different areas, but I was just thinking about this verse, and what it speaks of is relationship. I didn't even know this, by the way, but we were in the meeting the other day, and Pastors Brad and Miranda were talking about people, power, and purpose. And I was like, that's my message. In a sense, anyway. But the people part, right? Listen, everything that we do is not so that we can get up on a stage and preach. It's not so that we can take up offerings. It is so that we can fill seats, but not to that degree. It's because we love people. We love people. It's about people. And when I read this portion of this particular passage of Scripture, the Lord is adding to their numbers every day, and it's because of the connection that these people have, not just with each other, but with those who are outside of the house of God. Pastor Brad didn't tell the whole story, and I don't have time to tell the whole story this morning either, because it goes back 20 years at least, 25 years as a matter of fact, because, well, longer than that, probably 30 years, because my wife and I will be married for 25 years this year, and it started long before that with a man that you'll never know and that you've never heard of. His name is Rick Barnes, and Rick Barnes was my youth pastor in Granite City, Illinois, just across the river from St. Louis. And Rick Barnes was my youth pastor from the time I was in eighth grade to the time I graduated high school, and then I went into Bible college, and I was there for three semesters, the exact same amount as Pastor Miranda. We're both dropouts. I was there for three semesters, and Rick Barnes calls me on the phone, "Hey, you want to come out to Pennsylvania and be my youth pastor?" And I was like, "Yes, of course I do." Well, not knowing that that's where I'd meet my wife and spend the rest of my life, in a good way. It just so happened after we got married, we went into ministry down in Oak Hill, West Virginia. You know where that is? Just north of Beckley. It's a beautiful area, by the way. And that's where we met a man by the name of Joe Hoggard. Now, you'll never meet him, and, well, he doesn't live too far from here, as a matter of fact. Why are you telling us all this? I'm going to tell you in just a second. So we go down to Joe Hoggard. We're there for a couple years. We go back to Pennsylvania. While we're back in Pennsylvania, I work for a pastor by the name of Greg Lloyd. And in our youth group at that time was a young man by the name of Doug Smith. Remember Doug? Old Dougie Smith. Just a little snotty-nosed teenager. Dougie Smith comes up to me one day and he's like, "Hey, we went to youth camp a couple years ago, and we heard this evangelist by the name of Jonathan Shuttlesworth. We should have him come to our church." And I said, "All right, let's do it." And we did, in Pennsylvania. Old Jonathan Shuttlesworth came to our church and, whew, blew us away, as he usually does. And just shortly after that, old Joe Hoggard shared my name with a pastor by the name of Pastor Ron. Having trouble thinking of his last name. Blevins. Old Pastor Joe said to Pastor Blevins, "You should have Pastor Ken come and be your youth pastor." And I did. And that's where I met Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda and Brian and his lovely wife, Erica. And we all hung out there for about 2 years. But in the midst of all of that, I remember Jonathan Shuttlesworth, who I got his name from Doug Smith, who I would not have ever have known that if it wasn't for a man by the name of Rick Barnes, who invited me to his church at Trinity Assembly of God 30 years ago and married one of the girls there and then ended up back there not too long after that. What I'm simply trying to tell you is the kingdom of God works through connections. It is very possible that none of us would even be in this room today if it wasn't for those connections. I mean, I'm not saying we wouldn't be in ministry, but my goodness, we probably would not all be here this morning. It's connections. And it's not just our connection with people with inside the church. Listen, it's our connection that you have with people who are outside of the church. You are sitting around people at work through your everyday life that Pastors Brad and Miranda and myself and Brian and Erica will never even meet. But those people need to hear the gospel. Listen, us pastors, like, we love evangelism, we love to preach, we love to see souls, but the fact of the matter is we need you doing the work of an evangelist and bringing in the other people that need to hear the gospel. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And they added daily those who were being saved. Let's look just a few chapters over in Acts chapter 5, and this is my favorite one, by the way. This is my favorite one. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, and it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of them dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord." Look, it goes beyond that. Multitudes of both men and women. See, now we're going from addition to multiplication. And that's where things get crazy, right? I mean, there's no building big enough. You can't build fast enough. You can't keep up with it. And that's what's happening here in the New Testament. But what is the reason for this addition? The reason for this edition is because the supernatural signs and wonders and power of God are being put on display for men and women to see. If there's one thing, like, I preach this message a lot. My kids need to see it more. Your kids need to see it more. In the book of Judges, it says that after Joshua had died and all that generation had passed away, that there grew up another generation who did not know the Lord or the things that he had done. And the Bible says they went out and served the Baals. There's something about a human being that is actually naturally attracted to the supernatural. And when that hunger for the supernatural is not answered by the church, they will go out into the world in order for that need to be met. It happens all around us. And it's not just in witchcraft or New Age. It's in our movies. It's in our music. It's in games that people play. There is a natural hunger for the supernatural that God put inside of the heart of a human. Now, it can only be answered through the power of the Holy Spirit, but people will seek it out one way or another to get that need met. And the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit being put into a man or a woman is so that the power, the supernatural power of God, can be put on display for those around us. Come on, are you guys with me?
Yeah.
It's so important. And this is the thing, like the cessationist church, like the just, it's a rabbit trail. Don't follow it. Do you know that George Barna did a study years ago? He said 33% of people who go to church have testified they've never felt the presence of God. Over a third of the church, and this is not just people who visit church, this is people who go to church every Sunday. A third of the church in America has never experienced the presence of God. Now, I'll tell you, it didn't take too long this morning. We were only in about the second song, and I'm sitting over there, and I'm like, there he is. Are you with me? There he is. You know, it didn't take long at all, and it was probably, you know, that was just me. That was just what I was feeling. Now, he was already here. I just was tapping into it. 33% have never felt the presence of God, and I would go even further than that, that there's a larger portion than that have never seen a miracle, never seen God move, never seen a supernatural sign and wonder, and there's a whole aspect of the church out there preaching that it doesn't even happen anymore. I heard somebody say not too long ago that the book of Acts is descriptive, not prescriptive. You know what that means? That means, according to them, that what we read here in the book of Acts is only meant to describe to us what was occurring there, and it's not something that we can prescribe to our day today. That, in my opinion, that's a doctrine of demons. My goodness. How far away are we going to move from the book of Acts before we realize this was a prescriptive description of what the Holy Spirit was doing in that day? And as Peter got up and preached, this promise is to you, to your children, and all who are far off. Meaning it's never meant to end. And Paul even said in 1 Corinthians that the signs and wonders are going to happen until Jesus returns. Which is absolutely true, because signs and wonders are given to the church as a tool to bring in the lost. It's meant to give us a visible representation of the power of the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen. And this is what we need. Oh, we need it. I need it in my church even more. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how Krista feels. She'll probably say the same thing. But my goodness, just spending 2 days with your pastors has encouraged me. And I'm like, I'm going to go home and do all those things that I was putting on hold. My goodness. People of faith. It's incredible. But what I want to see is the Holy Spirit come and signs and wonders accompany the praying and the preaching of the gospel. And it's not so that we can get some kind of charismatic check mark on our box that we accomplished a sign. It's so that people can experience God for themselves. Amen. You know, when Pastor Brad encouraged you to come up to the front and, you know, was calling out joint pain, like that's, Yeah, we want to pray for healing. But listen, how many of you know those that are, that get healed now have a testimony of how God touched them? And the point of the testimony is then for you, through connection, to go out and tell somebody else what God's done for you. Oh, we had fun in Hawaii. We talk about going back all the time, and I just found out I might be able to go back in June, and I'm all kinds of excited. We went there twice. Twice in a year where we were unemployed. Yeah, that was fun. But we are on a mission from God. And listen, if God ever sends you on a mission, make sure that it includes Hawaii. Amen? Amen. And man, God was so good. We did see a lot of miracles. We did see a lot of signs and wonders. And I don't like talking about this. I really don't, because it's gotten me into so much trouble. You have no idea. I got certified letters from the district of the, well, a district. From the district. But you know, just not too long ago, we had a young man in our church. At our church, we have a drug rehab program that comes and attends church with us. So they have about 12, 15 guys or so, and most of them coming off the streets. Most of them, well, the vast majority of them not saved. Some of them had a church experience at one time or another. But, you know, they've been strung out on heroin or crack or whatever for a number of years. And they're coming into our church. And, like, it's a great opportunity to preach the gospel to these guys. And not just that, but to see the Holy Spirit be poured out on them in different ways. And there was this young man by the name of Dave. Dave came to our church and he's in the program, and I don't know exactly what was wrong with Dave, but while he was there, he ended up having to have surgery, and he had surgery on his right leg, so extensive, like they were removing bone and doing some work on his hip and stuff. I mean, he's got a scar from his stomach halfway down to his knee, and it was very intrusive surgery. And one day he comes to church, and he's talking to me about it. He's like, yeah, I got to put this wedge in my shoe now because the doctor told me that my right leg is going to be shorter than my left leg for the rest of my life. And I was like, no, it's not. Not today. You came to the wrong house for it to stay that way. And we prayed for him. And while we were praying for him, just next to him was a young man by the name of Kyle. Kyle was an atheist before he came to the program. He's got 666 written on his knuckles and tattoos. Kyle's sitting right there watching what's happening to his friend Dave. Dave's leg grows out. He never has to put that wedge back in his shoe. Dave and Kyle both get saved. I just baptized him last year. Amen. Yeah. Now, you don't have to like growing out legs. I mean, you know, it can be faked. Of course it can. But you ain't taking that wedge out. That wedge ain't coming out. And they got saved. Why did they get saved? It wasn't because of my preaching. It wasn't because, as Paul said, of the eloquence of my words. It was because they experienced a demonstration of power. And this is why, in this passage of Scripture, not just being added, but now multiplying, because people are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it goes on. Look at 15. This is incredible. It says, so now they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on bed and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. What's occurring here? What is occurring is the church is now getting a reputation that if there's something wrong with you, if you're sick, if you're demon-possessed, if you're bound by something, there's a church over there across the street that can help you out. And the people get so desperate for God to touch them that they're now laying their sick out on the street in the hopes that Peter's shadow just might touch them on his way to church. Come on, I'm prophesying to you this morning that this house is going to have a reputation. It's going to have a reputation. I saw this once in West Virginia, not too far from here, Mineral Wells. Just a glimpse, by the way, because the Holy Spirit began to move, miracles began to occur. And in that moment of time, that little season that we were in while God was moving, we started getting visitors. And I'm like, how did you hear about us? Oh, I don't know, so-and-so told us. And every visitor for about 3 months that came in needed healed. Come on, are you with me? Yeah. They needed something. And this, like, the climax of the story was, I got a phone call from a Baptist preacher that doesn't even believe in healing, asking if I would come and pray for his son because his sister-in-law was healed at our church. And they couldn't deny it, Pastor Brad, because we had medical verification. She had spinal stenosis. They were going to remove 3 of her discs in her spine and replace them with cadaver bones. She came to our church. We prayed for her. Nothing happened, but by faith, she canceled the surgery. Her doctor was furious. She came back the next Sunday, and this time, the only time that I've literally physically felt, I don't know what it was, the tangible healing virtue of Jesus, whatever, it hit me on my head and went through my arm and into her while I'm praying for her. She was healed. And her doctor was so mad that he said, all right, if you're healed, then we're going to give you another MRI to prove it. And the second MRI showed no more spinal stenosis. And her Baptist brother-in-law didn't know what to say other than, hey, my son needs healed. Do you think your preacher will come and pray for him? Come on, this is how it works, you guys. Man, don't throw away the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't throw away the power of the Holy Spirit. It will do more to grow a church than any message that I can ever preach. That's for sure. You guys all right? It's still early. Like, my church don't start till 10:30, so I feel like I got a short, like, I got to, yeah. Increasingly, multitudes, multiplication. Look at Acts chapter 11. Verse 22. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he had came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad, look, and encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And many people were added to the Lord. There it is again. And why were they added this time? Because there was a man by the name of Barnabas who was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, who encouraged them. Listen, I already said it once. It's the whole reason that we're here this weekend, is just to sit with your pastors and be encouraged. Are you guys with me? Come on, if you want to be encouraged, you got to get around some people that are encouraging. You got to get around some people that aren't afraid of stepping over a prefacist. I still said it wrong. A precipice. You got to get around some people that are scary. You got to get around people that look a little crazy. You got to get around. This is what faith is, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Like, faith is a little crazy. Randy Clark describes faith spelled R-I-S-K. It's a risk. Come on, any precipice. Lord, why did you give me that word? You know I can't say it. Any precipice that you're getting ready to cross over, like, that is scary. Are you guys with me? I know you. And he told me who you are, but I know I've met you before. Like, that's scary. We have this little trail that we went on near our house. It's called the Cliffs, and that's what it is. You get out on this little trail, and you get out on this little precipice, and I mean, it's 30, 40 feet straight down, but you can see clear across the valley. It's beautiful, right? Now, you don't want to step off of that because that's death. But the thing about a precipice is that it's a steep incline. Like it is possible to navigate, and it's risky. It's very risky. Come on, how risky is it, Pastor, to start a church? My goodness. You don't know the cost. I hope that all of you become church planters someday, but you don't know the cost until you step over that ledge, and you don't know what's on the other side. Listen, this is faith, right? This is faith. Faith to heal the sick. Sometimes it looks goofy. It looks goofy when I kneel down on the ground and hold some guy's legs in my hands. It looks stupid. And if nothing happens, I'm going to look even more stupid. It's a precipice moment. And how many of these moments in our Christian life do we have? And oftentimes we won't cross over because we're fearful. This is why the Bible all the time, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. How many times? Because there's a precipice to cross over. And if fear is in your heart, you're never going to step across that ledge. I do need to build. I do need to expand our church. And I've been holding on for 2 years, and I don't know why. And I come down here and talk to your pastor for a little while, and I'm like, oh my goodness. You're going to get me in trouble. Like, I got to go back home, start asking people for about $400,000 or $500,000 so I can get across this precipice. But listen, it's not just about buildings. Come on, how many of you know, like, even like leaving the old and stepping into the new, like Stephen, right, Stephen? Like, you've gone across the precipice. You can't go back, right? Same with you. Crossing over precipices. You can't go back. It's the place of transition. It's the place of change. And listen, all of us need somebody in our life who have already crossed over the precipice to help us to do the same thing. This is what Barnabas is doing. He's a man full of the Holy Ghost. He's a man full of faith. And he's coming to the church and saying, come on, guys, let's go. We got to cross over this thing to get to the other side. How many times now have we read that souls were being added to the church, and in every instance there's some sort of transition, there's some sort of change that is inevitable, there's another layer of the Holy Spirit that's added to the church. It's just continuing to build and build and build, and it's all because there are men and women full of faith who are willing to risk something to cross over. Faith. Faith. One last one. And this isn't even from the book of Acts, but it applies. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You guys know this scripture? Yeah. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first, right? The kingdom of God. And what does Paul say about the kingdom of God? Well, Paul says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is inside of you. Jesus said in I think it's Mark chapter 9. Just before he goes up to the mountain of transfiguration, he looks at his disciples and he says, there are some of you who will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God coming in power. When there's power in the kingdom of God. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, quite simply, without preaching an entire another message, it is the rule and reign of God here on the earth. The rule and reign of God here in our life. Jesus said that the kingdom of God starts off as a you know, little mustard seed, but when it grows, when it begins to flourish, it becomes the largest of all the herb-bearing trees in the garden. And he adds this little caveat. He says, all the birds of the air come and rest in its branches. If you study the birds of the air in Scripture, if it's often not a positive reference. It's often a reference of destruction. It's often a reference of death, like in the book of Revelations, the birds of the air come and feast, right? They come and feast on that which is dead. Like, the birds of the air is not a great thing in Scripture if you study it out. And what I think Jesus is saying is that when the kingdom of God has been established in a person's life, when the kingdom of God has been established in a church, when the kingdom of God has been established on the earth, the enemy has no more activity. There's nothing else that he can feast on, so he just has to come and rest in its branches. Are you with me? And I'm telling you, if you want to see souls added to the kingdom, if you want to experience what happened here in the book of Acts with addition, multiplication, crossing over precipices, let the kingdom of God flourish in your life. Let the kingdom of God be established in your life. And then let the kingdom of God be established around you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. It's about the kingdom of God. Nothing more and nothing less. Interestingly enough, the word in the Greek for added, which we've read now five times, is a Greek word, the Greek word prothysmi. I was born in Illinois, spent numerous years in Pennsylvania, 10 years in West Virginia, and the fact of the matter is I just can't talk anymore. It's a Greek word. It doesn't matter how it's pronounced in reality. It does mean to add, by the way, to add to something. But interestingly enough, one definition of that word means to proceed further. Did you guys hear that? Proceed further. Real addition comes when we proceed just a little bit further. Real addition comes when we're willing to cross over a precipice that requires risk, requires faith, but that's where we find the power of the Holy Spirit put on display for us to experience and for the people around us to experience. Come on, I'm just encouraging you guys today. This is nothing you've never heard before. I just feel like the Holy Spirit just wants to reemphasize, just come and add just another layer to the things that are already being presented to you here at this place, this house, to reemphasize people, power, purpose. Like, he's just adding just a little reinforcement, a little encouragement here this morning, if you will, and letting you know, like, you're on the right track, pastors. Like, there is the preface. It's right there. Just, and you are. You are. It's going to look different a year from now. And I'm not just saying that because I know things. I'm saying it because I could see it already. The foundation's been laid. Like I'm going home and reanalyzing, like, everything. Like, what am I doing? Like, people moving and organization. Like, that is my weakness for sure. But there's a foundation that's been laid. And the Lord has, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but this is just the sense, like, the Lord has no choice because of faith to add to it. Like, that's what God does, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when we begin to build a foundation by faith, and the Lord's just like, I got to do it. I got to add something here. Because you can't just keep building foundations. That you keep building foundations, it just becomes unstable. Like, the house, the building has to be built on the foundation. And there's a foundation that's been being laid now for the past several years, and the Lord is just going to come. He's going to honor your faith. He's like, all right, here we go, another layer. The kingdom of God is by faith, from faith to faith and glory to glory. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And when you co-labor with Christ and co-labor with others and you build that foundation, the Lord comes and he honors your work and he just sets the building right down on it. Come on, God's good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help me out, Gracia. What's the lady's name right behind you? What? Yeah, Jamie. I was over here worshiping Jamie, and I looked across, and you were just in your time with God. It was beautiful. And I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, she's just like that woman at the well of Samaria. And I was like, what do you mean, Lord? And he said, well, you know, and this is just conversations that happen in my head. I'm not saying that this is like whatever. Pastors know how prophetic stuff works. And the Lord's like, she's like the woman at the well of Samaria. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, she's the one who's going to go and gather people and say, come and hear the man who told me everything I ever did. And you know the beautiful part of that story that's often left out? Is years later, that woman was the first, I believe, evangelist in all of Samaria. Years later, Philip goes down and preaches the gospel in Samaria. The entire city gets saved, by the way. Deliverance is happening, demons coming out of people. The Bible says the whole city was full of joy. And it wasn't just because of Philip, it was because of that woman who went through connection, through relationship. And I just believe that the Lord is just highlighting some things in your life, that you have some people that you're connected with that need to hear what God's been doing in your life and in your heart. And don't be surprised when numbers get added because of what she's doing. Behind the scenes, by the way, but it's there. So God bless you. Bless you guys. Yeah. Thanks, Leha. Come on, just close your eyes for a second. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, before I leave, there's only one requirement that I have. I don't care about offerings or...
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.